Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Nithai Sevni Mataji. Mataji is going to enlighten us on the special topic of glories of Sri Ramanujacharya. I'll hand out the call to Sureshwar Shyam Prabhu to give the brief introduction of Mataji. Hare Krishna Prabhu, please take out the call, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanavad Pranam. Her Grace Nithai Sevni Mataji was born in a Gujarati business family. Her father later moved to Hyderabad in 1984, where she was closely associated with ISKCON Secunderabad. She took up initiation from His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj in Atlanta in 1998. She was recently graduated from GBC College as Zonal Supervisor in March 2019, as this certificate was Chakravarti awarded by none other than the most revered His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. Her goal is always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. That's why she immerses herself deeply in all services, heading with divine touch, school, the festival coordination, congregational preaching, or just some of them. She shares the responsibility of smooth running of ISKCON Vizag with her husband, Samba Prabhuji. Despite her heavy responsibilities, she travels worldwide, delivering thousands of lectures and inspiring millions of people in Krishna consciousness. And we are very grateful for Mataji as chosen this auspicious day of Ekadashi to deliver the topic of glories of Sri Ramanujacharya. Mataji has recently completed a doctorate degree and received the PhD. Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, back to you Mataji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Nithai Sevni Mataji. Dhanavats Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning, Mataji, and enlightening on the topic of Sri Ramanujacharya. We are very grateful to you, Mataji. Please take over the call, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'm audible?
Yes, Mataji.
Krishna. Hare Krishna to all the devotees there in the forum. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpataru bhayascha kripa sindhu bevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavrindiki jai. Shri Shri Radha Damodar Bhagavan ki jai. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shri Shri Gaunitaya ki jai. Lakshmi Nishingadev Bhagavan ki jai. Giriraj Govardhan ki jai. Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Guru Parampara ki jai, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai, ISKCON Vartaman Guru Vrind ki jai, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Guru Maharaj ki jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, what's the time limit?
Mataji, your time is... At 7:30?
1.5 hour?
Yeah.
So, Shripad Ramanujacharya ki jai. So, today we will be discussing on this very interesting topic, life and teachings of Shripad Ramanujacharya, who is one of the prominent acharyas of the four bona fide sampradayas. We're discussing this because for us in India, yesterday was Shripad Ramanujacharya's Disappearance Day. And also, this topic is the talk of the town because the just Prime Minister Modi has just unveiled 216 feet high statue of equality of Shripad Ramanujacharya. And it's a very big event. Especially, I mean, all over India, people are talking about it. All over the world, people are talking about it. And especially here, the place where I come from, I'm here in Andhra Pradesh. And this is this place is very near. I mean, it's part of the undivided Andhra Pradesh in Telangana that this huge statue along with 108 Divya Kshetra, important pilgrimage places of Sri Sampradaya have been... established and I think today is the culmination. Last 12 days, this the whole Pratishtha has been done with great pomp and show. around 1,035 homam kundas and hundreds of priests chanting Vedic mantras and lakhs of people visiting, and every day with 30-40 vigraha pratishtha, prana pratishtha is happening in all these 108 temples with shaligrams bought from all over different holy places, and the dust from other holy places brought and put there, and all the prominent spiritual figures and political figures and everybody has been invited to come and attend that event, and a lot of ISKCON devotees have also, you know, there and rendering services in different ways, because the homam is happening continuously for the last 12 days. So it's a talk of the town, everybody is talking about it, and we'll also talk about it today, the life and teachings of Shripad Ramanujacharya. Of course, these are not two different things, life and teachings. Actually, the life of the great Acharya itself is a teaching. The way they live, they talk, they walk, they carry themselves itself is a teaching. So we'll be talking about his life, his birth, childhood activities, and how gloriously he left the body. And we know Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also established the vigrahas, the murtis of all these four prominent acharyas of four different sampradayas in Mayapur Dham in his Gaudiya Math. And then we know Ramanujacharya comes from this great lineage. His guru is Yamunacharya, and Srila Prabhupada and other acharyas have also quoted from Yamunacharya time and again. And Ibn Bhakti Vinod Thakur has liberally drawn from Yamunacharya's Stotra Ratnavali. And at one place, when Srila Prabhupada was asked, you know, Srila Prabhupada, once you complete Srimad Bhagavatam, what do you want to write next? And Prabhupada said, Bhagavad Gita. Then disciples said, but Prabhupada, you already completed Bhagavad Gita. He said, yes, I'll write with more commentaries, because there are so many commentaries. And then while saying this, he mentioned like commentary of Shripad Ramanujacharya. So his life is, and his teachings are very inspiring, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also drawn from these different sampradayas, you know, whatever the best of it. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that this whole material world is like the dark well, and the jivas are stuck in this well, and these four sampradayas are the four ropes, and you just cling to any one of the rope with firm faith and conviction, and you can come out of this material world. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the best out of four, best of, you know, he just binded all these four ropes and put it on the pulley of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Harina Mahamantra, and made the process of coming out of this well more easier and more swift. So from the Sri Sampradaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took these two things. One is Achintya Bhakti and Vaishnava Seva. So these were the two things he took from Sri Sampradaya. So of course, every Sampradaya starts from Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, and it's not that Ramanuja started this Sampradaya, but he was one of the prominent Acharyas. So it starts from Sri, that is Lakshmi Devi, but he is one of very prominent Acharya because of his preaching, dynamic preaching, and his radical ways, and the things that he introduced, and the way he broke the teeth of Mayavad, and you know, making hundreds and thousands of disciples. I think I read somewhere he made 12,000 Grihastha disciples. He gave initiation to 12,000 Grihastha disciples, 700 sannyasis, and 150 brahmacharinis, so to say. So huge preaching, and especially at the time where things were not so good. You know, even now, sometimes when we hear somewhere, you know, some, like recently something happened here in Vishakhapatnam. There's a place here called Vijayanagaram, very close by, and there was this, you know, somebody vandalized the temple, and they discreted the vigrahas of Lord Sri Ram, and there was such a big uproar. But imagine the time when Ramanuja appeared, it was all the more worse. I mean, now things are much better, because all the temples were vandalized and everything was taken, and the priest, the pujaris were fleeing in fear, and the Sri Vigrahas were put either inside water, or they were buried inside, you know, some in the mud. in the ground, and it was such a situation, you know, all the temples, like we know how Radha Govind, the temple was broken, so all the temples were broken, and situation was very bad when Ramanujacharya appeared. And then, of course, Ramanujacharya, he is Lakshman, and we know what's Lakshman's, preaching fervor, like Nityananda Prabhu. So when he saw that the way things are happening on this planet, and then, you know, he expressed a desire, he wants to go and preach. And at that time, there was this very pious couple who wanted to have a baby boy. So they went to this Parthasarathi temple in Chennai, which is still there. It's one of the 108 Divya Kshetram, and you can still go and visit that temple. So there's this very pious couple who went and they did Putra Kamishti Yajna for 48 days. And then they did lots of austerities and they prayed from the core of their heart that we have a daughter, but we want to have a male child. And then when the Lord, did come in their dreams, and they said, we want somebody just like you. And then Lord said, okay, I will come. So Lord's first expansion, that is Shankarshan, that is Balaramji, he comes, you know, as Ramanuja, to preach the glories of the Lord. So how the connection happens with Yamunacharya, it's like this, because Yamunacharya had a sannyasi disciple called Sri Shailapurna, and Sri Shailapurna had two sisters, that is Kantimati and Dutimati. And Kantimati gets married to the Keshava, an Asuri Keshava Perumal, and gives birth to Ramanuja, and Dutimati gets married to Kamal Nayan Bhatta and gives birth to Govinda, who will also come, you know, as our story progresses. So they were brothers, and how Govinda did a great job of assisting Ramanujacharya in his mission. So all this began in a very, very pious place called Sri Perambattur. Now, anybody is Tamilian in this forum, they should forgive me for my wrong pronunciation. So I'm not so good at it. These words are really hard, and the pronunciation. So Sri Perambattur, and this is where Ramanuja appeared. And both the brothers, Govinda and Ramanuja, they were brought up in a nice Brahminical culture, and they were good boys. Sri Shailapurna is the one who named them when he went to meet his sister, and he came to know that she's given birth to a baby boy. So when he takes Ramanuja in the hand, he says, I don't know why, but when I see this boy, I'm reminded of Lakshman from the Ramayana, you know. So I'm thinking to call him Ram Anuja, who is one, the little brother of Lord Ram. So that's how he got the name Ramanuja. So this is how Ramanujacharya appears. And as his expansion of Lakshman is very sharp, he grabs things so well, and all his teachers are like, you know, there's nothing else to teach you, because what people take 10 years to learn, he just takes 10 days, and then he's done, and then he's done. So what next? What next? So finally, the teachers were not able to teach him anymore. And when he went so fast in his learning, his father and mother were a little worried, and they thought that the way he's learning so fast, maybe he will decide to take sannyas, so better to get him married. So at the age of 16, they got him married to Rakshambal. She was from a very good, the class of Brahmanas. Those days, that was very prominent, what class of Brahmanas you belong to. And she was one of the very good, prominent Brahmana lineage, and a very pious lady. So they got married. Ramanuja was only 16 at that time. Now, as soon as they got married, within 4 months, Ramanujacharya's father, he leaves body. So now the whole responsibility of to run the household falls on Ramanuja. So he decides to migrate from Sri Perambattur to a place called Kanchipuram. And then he decides to go there for a living. So they migrate to Kanchipuram. And now when they go there, Ramanuja hears about this very famous guru at that time called Yadava Prakash. Though he was an Advaitist, but he was a very known figure. So Ramanuja decides to go and take teachings from him. So he enters into his Gurukul. So simultaneously, he's learning and taking care of his family. Now, since, sometimes we wonder why he has to, when he knows he's an Advaitist, why at first place go and join his Gurukul ashram. But the whole point is, just like we see when Jiva Goswami, he went and he learned from Kasi, you know, under so many different people, Mayavadi, so that he can write the commentaries when he knows their side of the story, what are their arguments. Similarly, we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas in a different line. And similarly, we see in life of so many different acharyas, it's just that they going to defeat something. And before that, they want to actually get into their shoes and see what are their arguments at the first place. So we see here also, Ramanuja, he's actually taking teachings from an impersonalist, Yadav Acharya. But then at the same time, he can't tolerate when he gives all kinds of wrong interpretations. So there are one or two very big arguments happen between Ramanuja and his guru. On one fine morning, when he's massaging his guru and his guru is giving some commentary and trying to, you know, analyze some particular words from Chandogya Upanishad, where he equates the Lord's eyes to the rare part of a monkey. He says the Lord's eyes are red like the rare part of a monkey. So when Ramanuja hears that, the hot tears come out from his eyes and they fall on his guru's body. The guru realizes, you know, he's massaging him and says, what's up? You know, what happened, Ramanuja? Then he says, this is wrong. You know, then guru challenges him. If it's wrong, then you give your interpretation. And then Ramanuja gives a beautiful interpretation with the word kapi. So kapi means monkey. Kapi also means, he says, ka means water and pi means pivati. So the sun, which is drinking water, that's why when we go out in the sun, we get tired because the sun takes the water from our body. So that sun, you know, the way it looks red, that's how the Supreme Lord's eyes is. Or when the sun falls on this lotus and the way it blossoms, you know, the way it looks, the blossoming lotus, that's how the Supreme Lord's eyes are. So when he makes like this beautiful comparison, all the other students there, they applaud. And then Yadav Prakash, his guru, he feels very bad about it. He feels insulted. And then on another occasion, there's another verse from Taittiriya Upanishad where his guru gives an explanation that Lord can't simultaneously have all the attributes. And then Ramanuja gives a beautiful argument, said just like a flower, the flower can be red in color, the flower can be soft and tender, the flower can also have fragrance. Simultaneously, all the attributes, all the qualities exist in the flower. So similarly, the Lord can have simultaneously, you know, he can be guna and nirgun. So he gives a good explanation. And Yadav Prakash, he feels all the more threatened. That looks like this guy is a big problem for our philosophy, Advaita philosophy. So on one fine day, he plans to kill him. So then there's this conspiracy. They decide to go on a pilgrimage to Kasi and they decide to kill him. So they're all young children. So they're very excited going on this pilgrimage with their guru, Yadav Prakash. And Yadav Prakash has taken in confidence all his students, you know, that we'll all plan and, you know, somehow maybe throw him in Ganga and, you know, or just give him to some wild animals in the forest. So they all start walking Kanchipuram down south and they're going up Kasi and they walk and they walk and they walk for days together. Now, meanwhile, they are children, so children, they're bad at keeping secrets. Something they'll spill out. So these kids, you know, on one day while taking prasad, just, you know, spill out. They say, tell Govinda, who was also there in the pilgrimage, that we are all planning to kill Ramanuja. Now Govinda being his aunt's son, his cousin, he becomes very concerned. So he decides to, you know, give this information to Ramanuja, but how? He's always, you know, they're all together. But by Lord's arrangement, it so happens one day while they're all walking in the deep forest, the Ramanuja had to attend nature's call. So he had to stay back and the others were walking ahead. So Govinda somehow stays back and he gives this information to Ramanuja that they're trying to kill you. Your guru is trying to kill you. So Ramanuja doesn't believe that. He said, no, why will my guru do that? He said, no, this is the truth and this is the plan. But Ramanuja says, if my guru wants to kill me, then let it be so. I just accept it. That's my, or my guru wants to kill me or he wants to keep me alive. That's up to him. So I'll continue the journey. And then Govinda had to, you know, I mean, explain him, look, you are a Brahman And if your guru kills you, then he gets Brahmahatya. And then, you know, that's a big sin. So, you know, he can never come out from that sin. And then Ramanuja says, oh, I don't want that my guru should get that sin. So what should I do now? How should I save my guru? So he doesn't want to save himself. He wants to save his guru. So to save your guru, you just run away from this place. So he said, but I don't even know the way back home. So you just somehow go backwards, start walking backwards. So just in the middle of the night, Ramanuja just escapes. And next day morning, when all the students, they get up and they're just looking, where is Ramanuja? He's missing. So they just assume maybe some wild animal must have eaten him in the night. So internally, they're very happy. Yadav, Prakash and all the students, okay, our plan is successful and we did the job. And then they continue their pilgrimage to Kasi. So they're just going up with Govinda. And meanwhile, Ramanuja has just started walking backwards, but he doesn't know the way back to Kanchipuram. He doesn't know what to do. So he's just praying in his mind to Varadaraj, his deities. But Ramanuja had his own set of beautiful Varadaraj deities. Even today, when you go to Sri Rangam, you can see that small deities which were personally worshipped by Ramanuja. He was very attached to Varadaraj. So he was just praying in his heart of heart to the deities, you know, what should I do? And then he sees a hunter couple, you know, they are the bird catchers. So in the deep forest, when they see him, he said, little boy, what are you doing here all alone? He said, I just lost my way. They said, come, we'll take you. So they just hold him by the hand and they start, you know, guiding him. They start walking. So in the night, when they're all tired, they take rest under a tree. So while Ramanuja is fast asleep, he just hears the hunter and his wife, the hunter couple, they're talking something to each other. So he overhears that the hunter's wife is telling the hunter that I'm thirsty. And the husband says, it's very dark now. Let the sun rise in the morning. And the pond is very near to, you know, this place. And I'll fetch you some water and keep patience, take rest. So then she takes rest. So in the morning when Ramanuja gets up, to his horror, the couple is missing. They're nowhere to be seen. He doesn't know what to do. So he assumes probably the lady was thirsty. So they must have gone to the pond and they said the pond is nearby. So he starts walking. And then he actually sees, yes, there is a beautiful big pond. So he goes, takes some water, looks around for the hunter couple, doesn't find them. And then he sees some other people coming and taking bath. And then he just asks them, he said, what is this place? They say, this is Kanchipuram. And he doesn't believe. He said, how can that be? Because while going to Kasi, he walked for days and days together. And how can it just be one night journey back to Kanchipuram? So he keeps asking, is this Kanchipuram? And the man gets upset. Can't you see the Punyakoti Vimanam? That Vimanam is called Punyakoti. So can't you see the Punyakoti Vimanam? Are you out of your... Can't you see that? This is Kanchipuram. So Ramanuja becomes very happy. He understands, oh, that means it was Lakshmi Narayan who came to save me. But what he feels bad is that Lakshmi Devi said she was thirsty and I couldn't even offer water to her. So then he decides, you know, I want to do Kainkaryam, I want to do Seva to Lakshmi Devi by offering water. So when he goes back, he starts this service of bringing water from the well, which is 8 kilometers away from Kanchipuram, every day, 2 pots, and walks all the way back and brings water for the Lord's Abhishekam. And he continued that service for maybe like 10 years or something like that. Even today, if you go to Kanchipuram, you can ask the auto wala, he can take you to that place, and that well is still there. They have painted it nicely and put some, you know, some tilak, and you can see that well which was used for, you know, Abhishek of the Lord, and how Ramanuja used to draw water from that every day. So he comes back home safe. Meanwhile, what's happening is these people, they take a few months to complete their Kasi pilgrimage, and his brother Govinda, when he takes bath in the Ganga water there, while taking bath, when he comes out, he gets a Shivalinga in his hand automatically, and it just comes in his hand and it's not leaving him. And he also gets attached to it. So he becomes a Shaivite. And then finally, from there, he moves on to Sri Kalahasti and he continues to pray to Lord Shiva. So that's with Govinda. And here Ramanuja doesn't have any guru for now. So he approaches Kanchipurna, this one very intimate devotee of Lord Varadaraj, who is to offer him seva of fanning him every single day. And he was so intimate with the Lord, he used to even talk to the Lord. He used to have a conversation with the Lord every day. So he took shelter of that devotee. though he was not Brahmana by birth, but he was an exalted devotee. He was a Vaishya by birth. But Ramanuja had no such distinctions. He knows he's a devotee of the Lord and he wanted to take initiation from him. But Kanchipurna says, oh, I'm not qualified to initiate you. I'm not even a Brahman. So this is what is going on. And meanwhile, they come back. The whole troop comes back, the Yadav Prakash and his disciples. And then when they see Ramanuja all, you know, fine and happy here in Kanchipuram, they start suspecting, hope he didn't come to know about our plan. So they try to make look everything very normal and they start speaking to him very lovingly. Oh, Vardharaj is so kind. He has protected you and you have come back safely. So start coming to the school from tomorrow. So that's it. They just make it sound very normal. And Ramanuja, kind of beautiful nature that he has, forgiving, he also starts going to the school and he continues his education with Yadav Prakash. And meanwhile, there's another incident which happens. And, you know, there was this king in Kanchipuram who had a daughter who was possessed by ghost. And everybody was, you know, trying their best to bring the ghost out, but they were unsuccessful. So finally, the king's messengers, they come to Yadav Prakash. So can you do something about this ghost? Now, Yadav Prakash was very arrogant. He said, I don't need to come. Go and give my message to the ghost. Tell the ghost, Yadav Prakash is asking you to come out from the body. So they go and say, Yadav Prakash is asking you to come out from the body. And the ghost simply laughs, you know. He says, if Yadav Prakash wants me to come out, ask him to come here and talk to me. So the messengers, they go back. And they say, Yadav Prakash, the ghost is asking you to come. So Yadav Prakash, he goes in style with his whole entourage. All his disciples are with him and he enters the king's palace. And then he enters the bedroom of the princess. And then he starts reciting all the mantras and sprinkling water on the princess' body, you know, forcing the ghost to come out of the body. But the ghost is not coming out. And in fact, the ghost is laughing aloud. And then the ghost starts talking to Yadav Prakash. He said, you know, who can bless others? Who can help others? Those who themselves have a lot of deposits. That means if you have a lot of good karma, you know, somebody comes and pays obeisances to you, okay, you just give them some blessings. You can share your piety with them. But imagine you don't have any deposit of yourself. So what are you going to give? So the ghost says, you don't have anything. So Yadav Prakash says, what do you mean? He said, look, I know what was your past life. You were a lizard. You were a lizard and you were a lizard in, you know, a particular, near a particular pond. And, you know, you don't have that great karma, but it's just that some Vaishnavas had come there and they had taken prasadam. And after they left, whatever was the leftover prasadam, somehow you took a little bit. And because of the krupa of Vaishnavas, this birth, you became a Brahman. So you don't have any great deposit of piety, just Vaishnava Kripa. But me, I was a Brahmana in previous birth too. Only thing is I made mistakes in recitation of certain mantras and here I am, you know, as a, you know, I'm here like this and Brahma Rakshasa and I'm just moving around from body to body. So you are not going to be, you know, successful in bringing me out. But there's one person who can do that. So who is that? So that your disciple who's, you know, just standing behind you, Ramanuja, if I can get the dust off his feet, then I'm ready to leave this place. Now Yadav Prakash feels all the more insulted. And then anyway, he couldn't say much. So he said, yes, Ramanuja, please put your feet. So Ramanuja puts his feet on the head of the princess. And then the ghost leaves the body. So now Yadav Prakash, he thinks it's enough is enough. You know, I'm getting insulted all the time and I want to disassociate with this, you know, with this boy. So he just calls Ramanuja one day and says, okay, now whatever education was supposed to be given is given. I kindly leave this place and we are done with it. So I have my other students and you're not a very big, very good influence in my Gurukul. So kindly leave. So now Ramanuja, he didn't know what to do. He didn't have any guru. So he again approached Kanchipurna. Oh, please, why don't you accept me? Kanchipurna is like, I have a seva here, a fixed seva. He had his own garden. So he said, only thing I can do is I can engage you in some service. blind cannot show way to blind. I'm myself not a self-realized soul. I don't know much. I just do seva for my Lord. That's all I know. The only thing I can do is I can engage you in seva. If you like, you can bring water every day for my garden, you know, so that nice flowers come up, and I offer that to Varadaraj. So Ramanuja started doing the service. And meanwhile, since Kanchipurna was an exalted devotee who had conversations with the Lord on a regular basis, Ramanuja starts asking him few questions, which he's confused about. And he says, okay, can you ask Varadaraj this question? And can you ask him this? Can you ask him that? So there are very prominent six questions that he asked about who is the Supreme Absolute Truth and what should be done and how we can progress spiritually and what happens. One of the very interesting questions out of the six questions was, what happens to a devotee if he has taken their Lord's name for whole life, but at the end of their life, due to certain circumstances, if he's unable to remember the Lord, what happens to him? That was his question. And the Lord answered, he said, tell Ramanuja, to those kind of devotees, I personally come at the end of their life and I tell my name in their ears. You know, I remind them of me. So like that, he asked this six questions and Ramanujacharya was very satisfied. Now, meanwhile, it so happened that Yamunacharya, he was getting old, you know, 108 years or something like that, you know, fag end of his life. And he was worried, you know, who is going to carry forward my mission, this glorious sampradaya? I don't have a successor. So there was these two brahmanas who came from Kanchipuram and they told him, well, there is this very effulgent young man called Ramanuja, and he speaks amazing, and you know, he is so bold, you know, and he's a devotee of the Lord, and whenever his guru speaks Mayavad, he just confronts him. So Yamunacharya becomes so excited, you know, he said, I want to go and see him right now. So he just runs from Srirangam and he just reaches Kanchipuram. And when he is there in Kanchipuram, he's asking everybody, who is Ramanuja? Who is Ramanuja? So there, you know, they say Ramanuja, that's Ramanuja. So at that time, Ramanuja was still in Gurukul and he was walking along with his guru. So Yamunacharya could not go and, you know, speak to Ramanuja because he was still with Yadav Prakash. But what Yamunacharya did was he stood in front of Varadaraj and he said, my dear Lord, if somebody prays to you, you show your mercy on them. And who is the recipient of mercy? Even if somebody is lame, they can start walking. If somebody is dumb, they can start talking. If somebody is deaf, they can start hearing. Somebody is blind, they can start seeing. If somebody is barren, they will, you know, conceive a child. Your mercy is unlimited. So my Lord, if you want to do one favor on this servant of yours, please remove Ramanuja from the clutches of this Mayavadi, Yadav Prakash. Show him the right way. Please allow me to connect to him so that he can preach your glories. You know, so that was the prayer he had made. And that is why all this all these events happened, where Yadav Prakash got finally frustrated and asked Ramanuja to leave. So sometimes, you know, when something happens, there is somebody there who is praying for us, you know, even in our lives. Sometimes we may think, oh, how I came to Krishna consciousness? How did I get attracted to Krishna? How did I start chanting? How am I able to progress? So we should understand it may not be because of our endeavor. Maybe somebody out there is praying for us, you know, that make this fool a devotee. You know, we can understand that because, you know, we see in everybody's life, there's always somebody who's praying for them. So here, Ramanuja, you know, there was this great devotee who's praying for Ramanuja to be saved from Yadav Prakash's association. And then that's what happened. So, and then now what happens, Yamunacharya is back in Srirangam. And there he gets a message that, yes, whatever you have prayed is successful. And now Ramanuja is no more in association with Yadav Prakash. He's just serving Varadaraj. So Yamunacharya becomes very happy, but now he's too old to travel. So he says, do one thing. He calls one of his prominent disciples called Mahapurna. He says, go and fetch him. Go and fetch him. I'll give him initiation and let him be my successor. So Mahapurna is very happy. He's, you know, on the way to Kanchipuram. finally he reaches there. Now he doesn't know how to approach Ramanuja. Like, how do you go and tell somebody, oh, come, you know, we'll give you initiation, or come, my guru will give you initiation. It has to come from him. So, I mean, that was the tradition in the olden days, that the disciple approaches with the thirst. I want to know about Krishna. Can you tell me? But now in Kali Yuga, it's different. You know, it's those who become devotees are in search of making other people devotee and trying to somehow get them attracted and, you know, dragging them. And, you know, so this is how. But initially, in those days, it was different. They are the ones who have that thirst and they approach. So he didn't know what to do. So what he started doing is this beautiful verses composed by Yamanacharya. So he just went in front of Varadaraj and then he joined his hands and he started singing those verses. And when Ramanuja, who was just fetching water, and he heard those verses, he got completely mesmerized. You know, all the ashtasatvika vikara, they're gone, kind of all the hairs are standing on his hand, and the water pot falls, and he just falls on Mahapurna's feet. And he said, who are you? And such beautiful verses you are chanting for the Lord. Can you give me initiation? Can you accept me? This is not me, not me. This is my guru, Yamunacharya. He has written these verses, and I can take you to him. I said, wonderful. Please take me just now. Right now I want to come with you. So he takes permission of Kanchi Purna, and then he's on his way to Sri Rangam. And then finally they reach, and he's so happy. He takes bath in Kaveri, and then he's all ready to meet his guru Yamunacharya. But then when they just enter, they see the lot of people there. And what is happening? Then they come to know that Yamunacharya has just left his body a couple of moments ago. And Ramanujacharya is aghast. He's crying. You know, I was just a few moments away, and I couldn't see my guru. I couldn't take instructions from him. I couldn't take initiation from him. So now Yamunacharya is a great devotee. And now they are doing all his final ceremonies. So those who are the devotees of the Lord, because they practice so nicely Krishna consciousness, that there's no difference between their material body and their atma, because the body itself becomes spiritualized by being so Krishna conscious. So usually their bodies are stored and they're not burnt. So they're giving samadhi. So while they're doing that process, what Ramanujacharya observes is that the three fingers are curled, you know. So he's very surprised. Why are the three fingers curled? So he asked one of his disciples that does he always keep the hand like this, or there's something? So no, we don't understand. But of course, there are many unfulfilled desires of our guru. So then Ramanuja, you know, he just accepts Yamunacharya as his guru from the heart. And then we know the, you know, Chaitya guru, like, you know, Krishna comes in, you know, and Krishna tells him what are the desires of Yamunacharya. So then Ramanuja, he just gets up and he starts making promises. So he makes his first promise. He said, I'm promising to my guru, whom I have accepted, though, you know, there was no formal initiation, but I've accepted him as my guru. I promise to him that I will write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So because every authorized sampradaya has to have their own commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. And the moment he says that, the finger which was curled, you know, one finger opens up. So he knows he's going in the right direction. And then he makes a second proclamation that I will preach about, you know, this philosophy, or preach the glories of the Lord, you know, Vishishtadvaitism. And then the other finger comes out. And then he makes a third proclamation that I will promote, you know, the glories, or I will, you know, because Parasar Muni and Vedavyas, Vyamanacharya had a desire that they should be glorified nicely. People should know about them. So he said, I will, you know, make sure that I'll glorify them. I'll promote that name. So all the three fingers open. And then all those people who were sitting there, they come to a conclusion that Ramanujacharya is our rightful successor. But meanwhile, they also had a senior sannyasi, whom Yamunacharya had asked to take care of all the other disciples while he was leaving the body. So they were continuing, and meanwhile, Ramanuja was very happy. Okay, now he has a goal in life, and these are the things he has to do to make his guru happy. So he goes back, comes back to Kanchipuram, and he continues his service to Varadaraj. Now, meanwhile, it so happens that over the period of time, he's getting so attached to this devotee, Kanchipurna, every day talking to him, asking him questions. So though he's not taken Diksha, but he accepts him as a Siksha Guru. So he says, can't you come, you know, come home? And I want to feed you prasadam. So Kanchipurna is reluctant. You know, I'm not a Brahmana and you are a Brahmana of the highest class. He said, I don't believe in all that. You are a devotee. You are speaking to Varadaraj directly. Please come home. So he'd been insisting for many days now. So Kanchipurna finally agrees. He said, okay, I promise you I'll come tomorrow for lunch. So Ramanacharya becomes very happy. He, you know, informs his wife, okay, my guru is coming home. So, you know, make this, do that. And he's all excited. So the next day, everything is ready for lunch and everything is going well. So Ramanuja, he runs, you know, he wants to escort Kanchipurna for lunch. So he runs there to go and fetch him. Meanwhile, Kanchipurna takes another road, you know, and reaches Ramanuja's house. So they just crisscross each other, you know, different direction. So now this Rakshambal, who was the wife of Ramanuja, she was not very cooperative and she had the jati buddhi. Oh, he's a low class, he's a Shudra, he's a Vaishya, we are a Brahmanas. So when Kanchipurna comes home, she's not very happy. So he says, so yeah, okay, you have come, please come. My husband is not home. So Kanchipurna says, that's all right. I'll just take prasad and, you know, I'll quickly push off because I have some other services to do in the temple. She says, very well, then have a seat. And then she just gives him a banana leaf and serves whatever is supposed to be served. So Kanchipurna quickly eats and he's done. So usually, you know, when the Siksha Guru or Diksha Guru is called, the whole purpose is, you know, you want to serve them and then you want to take the remnants and have some nice conversation. But here she is so blunt and rude and she even tells him that, can you throw your own banana plate because I can't touch. You see, I'm a Brahmin. So you just throw it on the other side of the boundary wall, you know. And so Kanchipurna says, okay. So after he finishes, he just, you know, winds up his plate and then he throws it. And then he washes his hand, he makes a move. And this lady is all like, you know, upset because the Vaishya, this low class person has entered my house. So she cleans it with cow dung and she cleans it with the water, you know, from the Ganges water. And then she goes to the well to take head bath because she wants to clean herself, you know, how that, because she had to serve him. And she does all the process. And meanwhile, Ramanuja is just waiting in the temple that he promised me he'll come for lunch. I don't find him here. I don't find him in the tota, in the garden. I don't, where is he? Finally, you know, somebody tells him, hey, Kanchipurna has gone to your house. So he comes running this way. Okay, he has come. And when he comes home, you know, his wife says, oh, he just left. So he said, okay, that's all right. But where is his plate? I want that, you know, the remnants of his prasadam. And his wife says, don't worry. You know, I made sure that he throws it himself and I made sure the whole place is clean, you know, because he was sitting here. And Ramanuja is crying and crying. He said, how could you do that to my guru? In fact, I want to roll myself on the dust, you know, where he sat, where he walked. How did he enter our house? And you said you cleaned it. What kind of person you are? Now he couldn't do much about it. He was just, you know, very, very, very sad, but he didn't know what to do. So anyway, his life continues. And then another incident happens. I mean, well, there's some other Vaishnavas who come home and they're very hungry. So they're telling Ramanuja that we are so hungry that the stomach is touching the spine, you know, the back, you know, our stomachs have gone inside. Is there some food at home? So Ramanuja immediately calls his wife, can you give them some prasadam? And she says, well, we're just done with everything and I've cleaned the house, there's nothing there. So Ramanuja feels very bad and he sends them off. And then he looks into the kitchen for his self-interrogation. And he says, yeah, there is prasadam. And he feels very bad. He said, why did you do that? He said, I don't want to feed those low-class people. Why do they even have to come to our house? So every day there was something like this happening. So meanwhile, he didn't know what to do. He said, what should I do? My spiritual life is mess. I can't call guru home. She's not supporting me. I don't know what to do with my grihastha life. So meanwhile, he asked Kanchipurna, can you ask Varadaraj, you know, what I'm supposed to do next? So Kanchipurna gives him a solution. He says, Varadaraj is asking you to take initiation from Mahapurna. He is your guru. Says, all right, great. I got some message from the Lord. So he decides to go to Sri Rangam and take initiation from Mahapurna. So now he starts walking. He starts walking, you know, towards Sri Rangam. So it's like this. This is Kanchipuram and he started walking towards Sri Rangam. Meanwhile, here in Sri Rangam, they're all talking. Okay, we all know now that Ramanuja is the next successor. So why can't we just get him here in Sri Rangam and, you know, he starts giving us guidance and do the job. Why is he in Kanchipur? Now, why can't you go and fetch him? So Mahapurna says, all right, I will go and get him. So Mahapurna and his wife, he was a grihastha. So they are walking this way. And Ramanuja is walking this way. And he's going to meet him and he's also coming to fetch him. And somehow they both meet at this place. I think it's called Madurantaki. There is one pond there, a very beautiful place. It's a Rama temple. And still that place is there. The same place where Yadav Prakash was a lizard in his previous life. So somehow they both meet and at that place. And Ramanuja becomes very happy. He's jumping with joy. Oh my God, I'm just coming to meet you. And he said, I'm just coming to fetch you. And then they just both hug each other. And he says, I want to take initiation from you. And Mahapurna says, all right, very well. So let's go to Sri Rangam and I give you initiation. Or let's go to Kanchipuram so that, you know, let it be a nice ceremony in front of Varadaraj. And you know, let's see a nice day, a nice date, an auspicious time. And I give you initiation. And Ramanuja cries. He said, no. When you give me initiation, that itself is auspicious time. I don't want to look for an auspicious time in the calendar. And I don't want to waste even one moment. What if when I'm walking back, if I leave my body? We can never be sure, you know, how many breaths are, you know, still balanced in our life. Any moment we may leave the body. I don't want to delay. You give me initiation right now, right here in this place. So he says, all right, so be it. So immediately, you know, that place is still there where Ramanuja took initiation. In fact, that's the only place where you see a different kind of a darshan of Ramanuja. Because everywhere you see Ramanuja, you see him with the tridanda. But here you see him as a grihastha. He's in white because he's still married at that time when he took initiation. So there he gets his mantras and he gets initiation. So now he says, Guru, my Guru Maharaj, you know, you can't leave like that. Please come and stay with me. I want to learn from you so many things. So initiation is not only about just giving mantra, but you take instructions and teachings from the Guru. So I want to learn from you. So please come and stay at my residence and please allow me to offer some service to you. I want to give you some service. You are my Guru. So Mahapurna agrees. So Ramanuja had a house. Still that house is there in Kanchipuram. You can see that. So it's a, you know, ground and first floor. So Ramanuja and his wife are staying in the ground floor and his guru and his wife, they stay on the top floor. And everything is going on well. Every day from morning to evening, the guru and Shishya, they're having a great time. You know, Mahapurna is explaining him, you know, so many different scriptures and, you know, and they both are having wonderful, wonderful time. But meanwhile, what was happening is that Rakshambal, who by nature was not very conducive to Krishna consciousness, so she started making trouble. She wanted to somehow drive them away. So every day she was to, you know, somehow or the other, by some excuse, get into a fight or get into something with Mahapurna's wife. But Mahapurna's wife, being a great sadhvi that she was, she avoided. She was, you know, trying her best not to confront. But one day it so happened that they both went to the well to fetch water. So after fetching water, when they were just carrying it, in those days you either carry it on your shoulder or carry it on your head. So a little bit water from her pot fell in the pot of Rakshambal. And she started hurling abuses on her. Come on, you made me impure. That water from your pot has touched my pot. Now I'll have to throw this pot away. And she made such a big fuss. And Mahapurna's wife was all the time keeping quiet, because she knows what's happening and she doesn't want to disturb Ramanuja's study. But somehow Mahapurna heard it. You know, he was, you know, somewhere in the vicinity and he hears that. When he hears that, he doesn't want to continue to stay anymore. So he decides and he tells his wife, we should leave this place. And his wife is like, no, that's all right. You know, I'm okay with it. You continue, you know, teaching him. So he says, no, you're not able to understand what's happening. If they are committing like this, knowing unknowingly aparadh to guru, he'll be into a bigger problem, you know. So I don't want he or his wife should commit aparadhas anymore. So let us leave this place. So we should leave in the, you know, in the middle of the night, you know, otherwise Ramanuja will not allow us to go. So they both quietly left. So next day morning, when Ramanuja is all ready and, you know, going to his guru, he says, guru is not there. He doesn't understand. He asks his wife, what happened? He said, how do I know? I mean, they were there till yesterday. So then some ladies who were there in the, you know, who had also gone at the same time to fetch water from the well, they informed Ramanuja, we know what happened. Now, this is what happened between them. So now Ramanuja is crying and he runs to the Varadaraj Perumal temple and he's crying in front of Varadaraj and saying, do you come only when Gajendra calls you? Don't you listen to devotees? Can't you see what's happening in my grihastha life? My Lord, can't you do something? I know I want to preach your glories. I want to know more about you. And I'm put in such a situation. Please help me. Please help this servant of yours. Now, Ramanuja had this desire, you know, to give up his family life and take sannyas. But then, you know, just like we have this system in ISKCON, you can't take sannyas unless you get a permission from your wife. Now, but how to get permission from his wife? He didn't know what to do. So anyway, he just prays to Varadaraj and he comes back. And when he comes back home, his wife is all excited. He said, you know what? His wife is, you know, screaming. So what happened? He said, I got an invitation from my mother's house. And, you know, somebody is getting married and I need to go there and you have to come with me. And we will stay there for a few months, you know, till the whole marriage happens. And she's all excited. So let's go. Let's pack up. So Ramanuja says, no, I can't come for so many days. Why not you get going and I will come on the day of marriage or just maybe a day or two before marriage, you know, before the marriage actually happens. And she started abusing Ramanuja and says that, you're not even behaving like a proper grihastha. You know, you're behaving like sannyasi. You know, have you given up or what? This is our householder life and you should cooperate. You should come. You should participate in the festivities. There'll be so much fun, you know, before marriages. So many ceremonies happening. Don't start. See, if you want to behave like that, go ahead and take sannyas. You know, you're not this way. You're not that way. You know, you are just irritating me. Why not you go and take sannyas? You know, out of anger, she says, you know, just go and take sannyas. Just go away. You know, something like that. And Ramanuja is so happy that, oh, finally she gave me permission. So finally she just packs up and out of anger, she said so many things, you know, and then she just packs up and goes home to her mother's house. And meanwhile, Ramanuja, he comes running to Varadaraj. Okay, my wife has given me permission. Now I can take sannyas. So he takes sannyas directly from the Lord. So he keeps his saffron cloth and then, you know, in front of Varadaraj, and then he takes sannyas. He takes Sridandi. And now the actual story of his life begins. And all this is just like, you know, this. And now he's in full action. Oh, he's like all fired up and, you know, so many things that he does and travels extensively and, you know, writes commentaries and preaches and he's on fire. And meanwhile, his wife, of course, gets the message that, you know, your husband is a sannyasi now. So there's no way she can come back. So now, you know, what he does is he goes to Sridangam. Now, where he is in Sridangam, of course, he initiates Dasaradi, he initiates Kuresh and so many other prominent disciples. But what we are touching today is just a little from the surface and not diving deep. But there was this one very special disciple of Ramanuja called Kuresh. Now, we can talk about him for 2 minutes, otherwise it's so incomplete. This Kuresh was a big landlord, like a zamindar, like a status of a king in a place called Kura. So Kuresh means one who is the king of that place. You know, Isha means the landlord of that place. And he was a very rich man. And he had his pious wife called Andal. And both of them were very Krishna conscious and happy couple. And they're very charitable. They were so charitable that early morning when they take bath, they open the brass gates of their house and it makes a screeching noise. And then people start pouring in and they keep giving charity whole day. And in the night, you know, around midnight sometime, the brass gate screeches and closes. So that means for today, the charity is over, again, come back tomorrow. So like that, they keep doing every day. I mean, that rich and charitable he was. So once it so happens that Varadaraj, Perumal Lakshmi Devi, she's asking Varadaraj, what is this noise, this screeching noise, you know, the way the gate opens. So Varadaraj says, you don't know, this is Kuresh's gate. Who is Kuresh? He said, you don't know, Kuresh is so charitable, you know. When the noise comes, that means the gate is closed now. He's done for his charity for the day. So Lakshmi Devi becomes very happy. Oh, somebody so, you know, so wonderful, so magnanimous, such a big heart he has. So she calls a pujari and says, I want to meet Kuresh, ask him to come. So the pujari, he runs, you know, he says, Lakshmi Devi wants to meet you, you know, come and see her. Now, instead of becoming happy, Kuresh becomes very nervous and he becomes very, oh my God, that means how, you know, my closing of my gate is causing so much noise, you know, disturbance to Lakshmi Devi, that the voice has gone up to her. You know, and then is it the noise of the gate or is it the noise of my ego? You know, it's my ego. Maybe, you know, I'm thinking I'm so great. You know, suddenly some kind of a transformation happens and he says that I'm not worthy. He tells the pujari, I'm not worthy to show my face to Lakshmi Devi. You know, you tell her I'll come to her when I become worthy. And he decides, you know, better I just give up everything. Go and find a guru for myself. Take initiation and start, you know, doing something tangible for the Lord. What I'm simply doing here is just, you know, showing my wealth. What am I achieving by that? So next day morning, they decide to give off everything that they had, both husband and wife. They have nothing left now. And they start walking without anything. They start walking towards Sri Rangam. Now, while they're walking towards that, his wife is a little worried. You know, he says, we are going here in the deep, dense forest. I'm feeling a little afraid. So Kuresh asks her, are you carrying something valuable with you? Otherwise, you'll not feel fear. She says, no, I'm just carrying one golden pot because, you know, you have a habit of taking food. Then he said, no, just throw it, give it up. Just because you're having something, there'll be fear. If you have nothing, there'll be no fear. So they just throw it. And of course, meanwhile, of course, this is a long story. And meanwhile, while they're walking, they hear the bells, you know, the temple, the system is when they give bhoga to the Lord, then the temple bells ring. So she is thinking in her mind that my Lord, the temple bells are ringing. That means the pujaris are offering you naivedya, offering you bhoga. You are eating nicely, but my husband hasn't eaten last few days. He's hungry and, you know, and we are, you know, starving and we are walking like this, your devotees, and you are eating nice bhoga there. So that's what comes in her mind. She doesn't share it. Meanwhile, somebody comes running here in the forest and says, this is prasadam for you. And Kuresh is surprised. Why is somebody coming and offering prasadam to us? So he looks at his wife and says, did you desire something in your heart? Then she says, yeah, actually, I was thinking Lord is eating. And then he said, why did you do that? You know, are we supposed to serve the Lord or Lord is supposed to be engaged in serving us? So then anyway, finally, they both have that prasadam. And that is the maha prasad of the Lord. So that's how she conceives and gives birth to two children who were called Parasar and Vyasa. That's what Ramanuja had promised his guru, right? That he will, bring out the fame, glory of Vyasadev and Parasar and name somebody in their parampara, you know, and that way let people know about them more. So this one was fulfilled. And anyway, Kuresh finally goes to Sri Rangam, meets his guru and then connects to Ramanuja and everything is going well. Now, what was happening is that those days, the Sri Rangam temple was managed by some other people and they were not doing a good job. They were not utilizing the money properly. The systems were not in place. So Ramanuja was very disappointed, but he didn't have any administrative rights over the temple. So he, you know, shared this with Kuresh. So Kuresh says, Guru Maharaj, just leave it on me. I'll get you the administrative rights of the temple. And he said, how will you do it? He said, just leave it on me. I'll do it. So Kuresh, he dresses up like a Brahmin. And then he goes to this Dharma Adhikari, the person who was managing the Sri Rangam temple. One day he had a ceremony on her mother's death anniversary. They do the Shraddha ceremony and they invite all the Brahmanas. So Kuresh goes for that Shraddha lunch. Now the system is, after the Shraddha lunch is over, the host will ask every Brahmana, you know, are you satisfied? And the Brahmana has to say, Triptosmi. Yes, I'm satisfied. If they say that, then you go to the next Brahmana and you keep doing it. So this person, he comes and asks Kuresh, so are you satisfied? And Kuresh says, no. They said, what shall I give you something more? Do you want some more gold? Do you want cows? Do you want... He keep on saying, then what will make you satisfied? Then he said, give me the administration of this Sri Rangam temple. Now he can't say no because it is his mother's Shraddha ceremony and he has to satisfy all the Brahmanas who have come there. So he hands over the key of Sri Rangam temple to Kuresh. He said, all right, I give up the management. It's all yours, you know. And then Kuresh says, yeah, Triptosmi. Yes, I am satisfied now. Takes the keys and hands over to Ramanuja. Here, Guru Maharaj, this is with you now. You are the administrative boss for the temple. Then Ramanujacharya brings about all the changes and he makes all the system pakka. So for 20 or more odd years, he personally involves himself into the management of the temple. But again, there were some issues because temple president means there are problems and there'll be always some devotees who are happy with you and some devotees who are unhappy with you. So what happened is Ramanujacharya was a little strict about certain things which has to happen in certain ways. For example, he said, you can't offer citrus fruits to the Lord in the evening. The Lord may get cold. How come you're offering grapes or something like that? So the pujaris got upset. We've been doing it for so many years now. What? So Lord, what? It's just a vigraha. It's just a murti. How can a murti get cough and cold? So Ramana just says, what is this nonsense you're talking? This is a murti. This is the Supreme Lord himself. You cannot offer, you know, it's a cold climate. You can't offer these fruits. So like that, he was just correcting them. And they thought, better we kill this guy. It's just his pain in the neck. So they said, all right, simple. Let's mix some poison in the Charanamrita and then we are done with him. So they just mix some poison and every day in the morning, you know, the Darshanarati, and he takes Charanamrita. So they just mix the poison and give him Charanamrita. Now, but what they didn't know is that he's Anantashesh, and Anantashesh can't be killed with poison, you know. I mean, he's creator of poison. So nothing happens to him. Baba, this man is not dying. What do we do? So now the head priest of that Sri Rangam temple, now Ramanuja had this system. Though he was the head of the temple, he was not eating Rajaboga every day. You know, he was not that, you know, taking Rajaboga as the temple president. What he used to do was actually go for Bhiksha, like the sannyasis are supposed to do, go to a certain houses and take Bhiksha. So Ramanuja goes for Bhiksha to the head priest wife, you know, head priest house and this person's house. They're the fixed houses that he regularly goes. So this head priest, he mixes poison in the food that is, you know, to be given to him as Bhiksha. Now his wife is crying, I don't want to do that to Ramanuja. You know, he's such a great, pious sannyasi. Why do you want to kill him? See, you know, those days there was no divorce, or she couldn't, you know, go to the court or say, I just don't want to live with you anymore. You married means you're married for life and you can't do anything about it. And he was like, if you don't do this, then I will give up my body and you will have to live a life of a widow. So you better do it. Now she didn't know what to do. She agrees finally. So she takes a plate full of oil, prasada mixed with poison. And then Ramanuja, he comes knocking on the door. Yes, for the bhiksha. And this lady, she's crying and giving the bhiksha, crying and giving bhiksha. And Ramanuja is, what so? You know, how come she's in ecstasy today, crying? And then finally, after giving the bhiksha, she offers dandavat pranam to him. Now, according to their system, after bhiksha, she's not supposed to do pranam. If she does that, then sannyasi has to fast. So when he takes the bhiksha, goes to the bank of Kaveri, takes bath, and when he's about to eat prasad, he remembers, why did she do pranam to me? Well, she knows very well, if she does that, I'll have to fast today. God knows what was in her mind, then maybe I have to fast. So he just takes a little water from Kaveri, offers obeisances to Mahaprasad that I can't accept you now, and just takes a little water. While he's sipping water, he sees there's a crow coming. The crow just, you know, takes a little prasad, whatever is there, and the crow immediately dies because the poison was very strong. So now he understands, oh, so this was the plan. They wanted to kill me. Now he decides to fast. He said, I better don't eat anything because I have to, you know, I have to fulfill my guru's desires, Yamanacharya's desires. And if they kill me and if I have to leave my body, I won't be able to render service to my guru. I need to take care of this body and I can't trust anybody. I don't know what to eat, who wants to kill me, where. So he decides to fast and he fasts for a whole month, eating nothing. At the same time, he's continuing with his preaching activities and he's like all active, of course, because he's Anantashesh avatar. So he's all active and he's continuing with his preaching. Meanwhile, Mahapurna comes to know about it, that, oh, my disciple Ramanuja has been fasting for 1 month now. So he comes running to meet him. So when Mahapurna comes running to meet him, and Ramanuja comes to know that my guru has come, so he's also running, you know, and they both are, you know, just running from different direction. Now, that was midsummer, hot summer. And the sand, you know, where they're walking is also very hot. So now the system is, when you see your guru, you just fall flat like a danda, like a stick. So now as he's about to, you know, do dandavat pranam to his guru, what he sees is Ramanuja's disciple, another disciple, he falls flat on the ground because he didn't want Ramanuja's chest to touch the hot sand. So he just falls flat. So by the time Ramanuja falls, he's falling on his disciple. And when Mahapurna sees this scene, he becomes very happy. He said, oh, what love this disciple has for you. He doesn't want his guru should touch the hot sand. So he fall, you know, flat beforehand. So he said, you can trust him. Ask him to cook for you. So then Ramanuja says, oh, that's all right. So then he asked him to, you know, you can cook for me and then I'll take prasad. Meanwhile, Ramanuja sends a message to Sri Shailapurna that I need an assistant. You know, I need somebody whom I trust. I have lots of service to be done. I need Govinda. But Sri Shailapurna says, Govinda is a Shivite. He is in Sri Kalahasti. So Sri Shailapurna, he goes meanwhile, gets Govinda from there, you know, because he's his uncle also by relation, mother's brother. And he preaches to him and makes him a Pakka Vishnu devotee, gives him initiation. Now, Govinda is very happy. He's with Sri Shailapurna. Now he's a Vishnu devotee serving him. Everything is wonderful. Now, Ramanuja decides that I should learn more further. Like we have our Bhakti Shastris and Bhakti Vaibhav and Sarvabhoma. And there are so many things to learn. So he decides, okay, I need to dwell deep into Ramayana. I need to dwell deep into this and that. So he decides to go to Sri Shailapurna. So there he learns some more scriptures and gets deep. Now, at the end of it, Sri Shailapurna is so happy with Ramanuja. Says, oh my God, usually after teaching, giving the spiritual knowledge, you know, one has to give Guru Dakshina. But here it's other way around. The Guru is telling him, I want to give you something. I want to give you some gift. What a student you are. I never had a student like you. You know, I say and you remember. I say and you remember everything. Wonderful. It was a pleasure. Pleasure was all mine in teaching you. Ask me for a gift. And Ramanuja says, okay, if you want to give me gift, give me Govinda. I want Govinda, your disciple. I want him. I need his help, you know, assistance. And Sri Shailapurna says, all right, given. Because in those days, they were so loyal to their gurus. They were like, you know, servants to their gurus. Slaves is the right word. And the guru had that, you know, he could give his disciple to anybody he wants, you know, like that, you know. So he said, I'll let I give it. I give Govinda to you for life. You know, he will assist you. So fine, great. So Ramanuja takes Govinda and then they are, you know, continuing their journey. Meanwhile, what Ramanuja observes is Govinda likes or he's so attached to Sri Shailapurna, he's crying for his guru. So Ramanuja understands that, you know, his heart is with Sri Shailapurna. So Ramanuja says, all right, you know, what will you do with me half-hearted? Go back to your guru. It's all right. You know, I'll look for some other assistance. You can go back. So Govinda says, thank you so much, you know, because I just want to be with my guru and I want to serve him. So Govinda runs back and he's back in Tirupati where Sri Shailapurna was. And then when he enters, you know, the courtyard, Sri Shailapurna's wife, you know, she's so happy to see Govinda and she's telling her husband, hey, listen, see who has come. Our Govinda has come back. Our Govinda has come back. Sri Shailapurna, who was upstairs, he simply says, cow once sold, if you have sold a cow, you know, you have sold a cow once, then there is no point in feeding water to the cow. So that means, you know, we already given him, there's no point of taking him back. And when Govinda hears that, he understands that my guru doesn't want to accept me back. He's given me to Ramanuja. So he doesn't say a word, just pays dandavats and goes back to Ramanuja. This time he tells Ramanuja, I'm here with my heart. No, I'm completely with you. I'm your slave. I'll take care. I'll assist you. I'm not going to go back anymore. So Ramanuja says, fine, very well then, you know, and then they continue. So Ramanuja travels extensively, goes to Tirupati, goes to Sri Kurma, everywhere, because even in Tirupati those days, there were a lot of animal slaughters. They were slaughtering animals and offering to the deity. And they were not even sure what deity that is. Because some people were saying it's a Shiva deity. And somebody says, no, it's a Devi deity. So they were not sure what's happening. And Ramanuja went and fought. And he said, this is Balaji or this is, you know, Lord Narayan himself. And they said, what's the proof? So then he says, all right, let's make Shankha Chakra. Let's make Trishul. Let's make, you know, different weapons. Let's keep it in the sanctum sanctorium. Let's close it. Let's see what the Lord picks up. If he's Narayan, he will pick up Shankha Chakra. If he's Shiva, he will pick up Trishul. And let's give the choice. Let's see, we'll all know who he is. They all agreed. So they just put all those things and they close the sanctum sanctorium. And next day morning, when they open the door, they see Lord has taken Shankha Chakra. So they understand, oh, this is Vishnu. So like that, he re-established everything, which because after the barbaric invasions, you know, the murtis were desecrated and everything was the way it was. Nobody was able to understand what to do next. The priests who were the actual priests, they were already somewhere in exile, incognito, to, you know, and some lechas were doing whatever they wanted to do. So everything was upside down. So like that, he also went to Sri Kurmam, which is like near to Vizag, Vishakhapatnam. And there also, they were worshipping the Kurma deity as a Shiva deity. And they were fighting, this is Shiva. And Ramanuja says, but no, this is not Shiva, dig more. And when they dug on all the four sides, yes, they could see the small, small legs of the, you know, Kurmadev tortoise. And they said, yeah, you are right. This is not Shivalinga. So like that, he was just going everywhere. And, you know, and this was intolerable by the Chola king. There was this very envious Kolatunga Chola king who was a Shivaite. And he got very upset. He said, better to kill Ramanuja. You know, what is he doing? Everywhere he goes, he makes everybody a Vishnu devotee. And this king was, you know, I mean, those days, you see, this Shiva Shaivates, they were, especially these Kolatunga, I think it was Kolatunga 2. There was Kolatunga 1, this Kolatunga 2. He was so envious of Vishnu devotees and Vishnu himself that in the Chidambaram temple, where there is this deity of Govindaraj deity, and then there is this deity of Shiva and Parvati. So what he did is he removed the deities from there, and there are some steps, you know, where you have to climb to see the deities, Shiva and Parvati. Instead of the steps, he put the Govindaraj deities. He said, put your leg on that deity of Vishnu and then go and see Shiva. So the devotees were, and those who were not doing it, they were slaughtered and murdered. So there was this one lady, you know, very old lady, and she didn't want to climb on Lord Vishnu's head. So she just climbed from the side, and immediately her head was chopped. So he was getting all crazy, you know. No, if anybody is not a Shiva devotee, they have no rights to live. But Ramanuja was, you know, going in the other direction and making everybody Vishnu devotee. So now he thought, the only thing that I can do is just kill him. That's the only solution. So then he sent a message. He said, ask Ramanuja. Now he did it in a very diplomatic way. I said, ask Ramanuja to come and convince me that Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let him have a debate with all my, you know, the other sadhus that I have in my court. And if he wins, then Kolatunga Chola, I promise I'll become a Vishnu devotee. Ask him to come for a debate. So the messengers, they went, and he instructed them that in case he does not want to come, or he does not come, bind him by the ropes and drag him here. That's the plan. So now this Kolatunga Chola's army, all these soldiers, and they come. Now they want to fetch Ramanuja. At that time, this disciple of his, Kuresh, he was there. He understood the whole plan, and he thought, okay, now this is sign, this is danger. Now I can't send my guru like this. And somehow, Ramanuja was taking bath at that time. So he is inside. And Kuresh, you know, he understands what is happening. So what he does is, he goes inside, takes Ramanuja's clothes, dresses like Ramanuja, takes his tridanda, leaves his white clothes for Ramanuja. And then he comes out of that place and he asks the soldiers, yes, I'm Ramanuja. Yes, take me where you want to. Now, those days, there was no Google Images or WhatsApp. They never knew how Ramanuja looked. They have heard about him, but they don't know how he looks exactly. What they know is he has a danda and a saffron cloth. So they were convinced, so you are Ramanuja, come. Now, Mahapurna, Ramanuja's guru, he was on the first floor, and he sees that Kuresh is going with them. I don't want to send him alone. So he runs, you know, he comes downstairs. He runs, he said, hold on, you can't take Ramanuja alone. I'm Ramanuja's guru, take me too. So very well, come, both of you come. So Mahapurna and Kuresh, who is dressed as Ramanuja, they go to the king. And meanwhile, here, the other disciples, when Ramanuja finishes his bath and Sandhya Vandana and all, they inform him, this is what has happened. We need to immediately, you know, move from here. We need to go somewhere, you know. Those days, the kings of Karnataka, they had an issue with this Kolatunga king. They were not in, you know, good relations. He said, let's go and take shelter of the Karnataka kings. So immediately in the night, they just left, you know, in a deep, dense forest. You know, they were just walking in the forest way. And meanwhile, these people, they reached the court. Now, when they reached the court, the king was very happy. Finally, I caught this Ramanuja. He said, come on now, sit down. So now I'm telling you this. Shiva is great. So Kuresh replies, yes, Shiva is great, but Drona is greater. So now those days, Shiva and Drona means the measurement, you know, when you measure something, there's this Shiva and Drona. So he said, yeah, Shiva is great, but Drona is greater. So he said, you're having fun with me? You're making fun of me? I'm telling you something so important. Now I'll teach you a lesson. So like this, there's lots of argument happening. And he finally says, look, now I'm a very kind-hearted king. What I'm simply asking you is just sign this document saying that Shiva is greatest and I leave you. And they were not ready to sign. Now, meanwhile, all this is going on. You know, this Kuresh disciple, he comes in. Now, he is one of the informer of the king. And he just whispers in the ear, you got the wrong guy. He's not Ramanuja. He's Kuresh, Ramanuja's disciple. Now, the king gets all the more upset. Oh, so you wanted to cheat me. I mean, Ramanuja doesn't come and his disciple comes. I'll tell you, all this cheating is because of too much knowledge that you have acquired. And this too much knowledge is coming because of too much reading. And this reading happens because of the eyes. Pluck out their eyes. It's Mahapurna and Kuresh's eyes. That's what you do and throw them out. So the soldiers, they carry them into the dungeons and then they pluck out Mahapurna's eyes. And as they are ready to pluck Kuresh's eyes, you know, they're just going with those two iron rods, hot rods, and, you know, going up to Kuresh. And Kuresh shouts, no, please don't do it. And the soldiers laugh. Now you got some sense, is it not? Come now, come and ask forgiveness. You know, I said, no, what I'm trying to say is, instead of you plucking out my eyes, can I do it myself? Because if you do it, you will get karma, you know, of, you know, making an offense to a devotee of the Lord. And I don't want you should suffer. So if I do it, then nobody suffers. So can you give it to me? I'll do it myself. So then he just plucks out his eyes by his own self. That's it. And now they both are blind and they're all bleeding. And the soldiers, they just take them and they just throw them out. That's it. Now both are blind somehow with the help of some others, and they start walking back to Sri Rangam. And they're very careful and telling other disciples, don't tell this to Ramanuja. He shouldn't know what has happened to us, you know. And they both are just walking back. Now as they're walking back, Mahapurna was already very aged. So he couldn't tolerate the pain and the bodily, you know, physical pain. And he was just, you know, he just falls on the ground and he's about to leave the body. So Kuresh is counseling him, hey, don't do that, Mahapurna. Why not you hold your breath for some more time? Because if we walk a little bit more, we will be in Sri Rangam. And you will have this fortune of leaving your body in a holy place. Don't you want to do that? Just hold your breath. Mahapurna says, no, I want to leave my body right here. Because after leaving my body, if I go back to Bhagavad Dham, Vaikuntha, people will say he went back to Vaikuntha because he left his body in Sri Rangam. That will glorify the Sri Rangam, the holy place. But if I leave my body here and I still go back to Vaikuntha, then people will glorify my guru. What a glorious guru he had, you know, that he had, infused Krishna consciousness so deep in the hearts of the disciples that wherever they are, they leave the body, they are in complete consciousness of the Lord and they go back home, back to Godhead. So I leave my body right here, and he just leaves his body. And then Kuresh somehow, you know, does all the whatever is supposed to be done. And then they go back to Sri Rangam. Now, meanwhile, Ramanuja is here in the white dress. Nobody can recognize him. And he's passing through the jungles. And there he meets some tribal people. And to his amazement, these tribals are having tilaks. I says, who is your guru? And they say, you know, they're glorifying Ramanuja. So how do you know Ramanuja? So he said, they are asking in turn, you don't know who is Ramanuja? We are disciples of Ramanuja's disciples. And now Ramanuja becomes very happy. Oh my God, so much preaching is happening. Even the tribals are becoming devotees. So meanwhile, this tribals, they, you know, because these people are also having tilak, so they give them some simple accommodation and then prasadam for night. Now Ramanuja does not eat anything which is not offered to the Lord. So he's asking his disciples, I said, okay, cooking is done. Now what about offering? So then the disciple comes and says, Guru Maharaj, they already did the offering. What do you mean they did the offering? Whom are they offering? That I don't know, but they're offering something. Because see, there is no tube lights or flashlights, you know. I mean, they are in the jungle. So, but something they were offering, but I don't know what. Now, Ramanuja said, I can't eat unless I know what they're offering to. So then the disciples made a study. And then they asked the lady of the house, whom are you offering to? Then the lady said, well, I never saw my guru, Sri Pada Ramanujacharya, but what I have is his padukas, you know, his lotus feet, his padukas. So these padukas are worshipable to me. So I offer for food to padukas and eat every day. So then they come back and say, Ramanujacharya, Guruji, Guru Maharaj, they are offering food to your paduka. Then he says, no, don't, you know, tell them the truth. Then they disclose, you know, this person sitting here in white, he is Ramanujacharya. Then they get shock of their life. They say, oh my God, we thought in our life we can never see you. We were simply satisfied, like Bharat Maharaj was satisfied with the padukas of Lord Ram. We were simply satisfied with your padukas, and we never thought that we actually see you in person. So then Ramanuja blesses them and gives them nice instructions, and then he says, stop that paduka business. Here is my shaligram. So offer the food to shaligram, and then you please give it to me, you know. So that's what happens. And then this whole tribal people, when they come to know about the facts, they said, don't worry, we will all surround Ramanuja and we will safely take him to Karnataka. Nothing will happen to him. So they all, you know, they pass him through that whole route of jungle, and they finally reach this place called Melakot. Very, very, very special place called Melakot. So here he reaches Melakot, and now he's safe because he's in Karnataka. But here the king of Melakot was a Jain. So now he has to do something to convert this person into Vaishnavism. And meanwhile, the Lord comes in Ramanuja's dream. Said, I'm waiting for you, Ramanuja. Finally, you have come here. I'm here in the form of, you know, Thirunarayan, Chelubar Narayan, and I'm inside the, you know, inside the earth. Kindly dig and bring me out. And also Ramanuja has been traveling for many days now. So he is stalk of the, you know, like we put tilak, they have this white mud that they put. It was over. So he was even searching, where will I get that white mud, you know, to put tilak. So he said, you'll get that also, and you'll get me too. So please begin your digging. So he comes in the dream. Next day morning, Ramanuja takes few people and they start digging. And yes, they get this beautiful vigraha of Chelubar Narayan or Thiru Narayan. Beautiful, beautiful Narayan. So now they have the deities, they have the white mud for putting tilak. They're all happy. But now, if you want to make a temple, you need money. And money means Kshatriyas, the king. But the king is Jain. So what to do? So meanwhile, as he's thinking, what's his next strategy? A messenger comes, says that king's name was Bittudev. Said Bittudev's daughter is, is possessed by a ghost. So can you come and help? Now, Ramanuja had a patent, you know, of removing ghosts. That's what he did in his childhood also. And he said, I'll do it. I'm coming. So Ramanuja comes, and then, you know, he just removes the ghost from the prince's body. And by the arrangement of the Lord, even the Jain munis come, but they're unable to do anything with the ghost. And Ramanuja does it very quickly. So the king becomes his follower. He says, I'm surrendered to you. My kingdom is yours. Ramanuja says, I don't want your kingdom. I just want you, your service to Thiru Narayan, and I want a grand temple for him. So then he initiates Bittudev and he calls him Vishnu Vardhan. So now he's a disciple of Ramanuja and he's all excited to help Ramanuja. So they build the temple, they put the deities. And then Vishnuvardhan says, hold on, Guru Maharaj, I have a lot of beautiful crowns in my treasury. Because you see, those days the temples were desecrated and, you know, some thrones are here and there, some deities are here and there. You never know what's happening. And then when they conquer other kingdoms, they get the treasury from there. So sometimes they have some Muslim kings that they defeat, you know, then they get all the treasure, and these Muslims must have taken from the Hindu temples. So he said, I have a beautiful crown, you know, and which we can put it on the Lord. So he goes and gets the crown. The crown is a bit too small for the deity. So then the king says, okay, hold on. I remember somebody telling me that they were also smaller deities, you know, in the previously. So maybe the smaller deity is missing and this crown belongs to the smaller deity. So now, after a lot of research and talking here and there, they understand that this smaller deity is in Delhi with the Badshah, the Muslim king in Delhi, because he had vandalized so many temples and he had a lot of different temples, vigrahas and jewelries of the deities. So meanwhile, because this Bittudev was cultivated by Jain gurus, he also organizes a program with 10,000 Jain munis, and he asks Ramanuja to address them. And Ramanuja successfully converts many of them into Vaishnavism, and some of them just run away, and some of them are not, you know, they don't want to listen to his, address. So it all happens, and some of them gets converted. So now the Vaishnavism is in full force in Melakot, and everything is fine. So Ramanuja tells Vishnuvardhan that you take care of this place. Let me go to Delhi, because I need to get the small Utsav Vigraha, you know, of Thiru Narayan. So he walks all the way up to Delhi. So, see, those days, the kings were very open for discussion. So when Ramanuja comes there, the Badshah says, all right, I understand you are looking for some deity, but first you have to defeat my, you know, the people, my religious heads whom I have in my court. You should have a discussion and debate. And if you win, then I'll give you whatever you want. So then there's lots of discussion for many days. And of course, Ramanuja wins. And then the Badshah is very happy. And he says, all right, great. Here is the key to my treasury. Walk in. Take whatever you want to. So Ramanuja, he enters the big place, you know, king's treasury, and he sees hundreds of deities, hundreds, and the small and big from temples around India. And he's not finding Chelu Narayan, that deity, or Sampath Kumar as the deity is called. He's not finding that deity, and he's just looking everywhere, and he tells the king, no, there is some other treasury also which you have. Have you not shown me? He says, no, I've shown you everything. Of course, there are certain deities which we have used like artifacts, you know, somewhere decorated in our bedrooms, in our, you know, the place where my queens stay. So that one place you can check out. So then Ramanuja goes there, and then he checks out in the, you know, Antar Bhavan, also in the king's palace. There are many, many deities, but he's not finding his Chelu Narayan. Finally, what he sees is, the princess, the king's daughter, is playing with Chelu Narayan deity. He says, this is the deity. This is the deity I came looking for. The king says, well, this deity I can't give. I give you the whole treasury. Take whatever you want to. But this deity, my daughter is attached. She is, you know, got attached and playing with it. But Ramanuja says, but you promise me that if I win, you'll give me whatever I want. And this is what I want. Then the king says, all right, let me do justice. See, now my daughter is also very attached to the deity. If your deity really has life, you know, because you people worship, you know, deities, the Muslims, they don't believe in deity worship. And said, then why not you ask your deity that come to me? If your deity walks to you, it's yours. If it doesn't, maybe your deity wants to stay with my daughter. So let's make this arrangement. So Ramanuja says, all right, great. So Ramanuja sits there. He puts his two hands like this. And in the Tamil language, he says, I don't know the exact word. It says Chelu Pillai or something. He says, my dear one, my dear boy, come. You know, something like you say to your little kids, my dear boy or my dear one, come to me. That's what he says. He just puts his two hands and says, my dear one, come. That's it. And the deity walks to him and jumps and sits on Ramanuja's lap. Says, yeah, my deity has come to me, so now I take him. That's it. Ramanuja just, you know, clings, you know, hugs him, and he just walks away. Now this girl, this princess, she's very attached to the deity, and she tells her father, no, I can't stay here. I can't stay without him. He's my life and soul, and I'm married to him, you know, just like Mirabai. So he's my lord, so I'm going. So the king arranges for a palanquin, and this princess, she follows Ramanujacharya, you know, and then they go to this place, Melakote, and then they establish the deity here. And this lady, Bibi Nachiyar, her name, to the fag end of her life, she stays there. And even today, Ramanuja, what he did is, he made a deity of that Bibi Nachiyar, the princess, and he put it next to the Lord, and he gave her the position of, you know, like consort of the Lord, because she was so attached, you know. So even today, when we go, we can see that small deity. So like that, and then that's how the Melakota temple was done. Meanwhile, this Kolatunga, you know, Kolatunga Chola, he developed cancer, bad one as that, big lump near to the throat, and all the insects are going in and coming out and eating flesh and clinging, and he's suffering. When we commit aparadh to Vaishnavas, it's not that immediately there is some reaction, you know, it just cumulative, there is, you know, it keeps on accumulating, and then finally it happens. So yeah, he suffers and finally he dies. So after he dies, then Ramanuja decides to come back to Sri Rangam. Now the devotees at Melakota are crying, if you go away, because he lived there for many, many years, if you go away, who's going to guide us? Then Ramanuja says, all right, my Vigraha will guide you. So then they make this deity of Ramanuja, and then Ramanuja says, okay, now you take guidance from this deity. And then he comes back to Sri Rangam. And when the devotees at Siriperambur, they hear that the Melakota devotees got a deity, they said, what about us? Even we want a deity of yours. who can guide us. And then Ramanuja gives them a deity also. And then when they take the deity and they go back to Sri Perambur, they decide for a nice auspicious day and they want to install the deities. You know, just like we do installation, Netra Unmilan, making, you know, open the eyes, do all the ceremony, you know, Jala Divas, all those things. And when this was actually happening in Sri Perambur, Perambatur, and Ramanujacharya was in Sri Rangam, when they were doing this Jala Adivas, he was getting cough and cold. And then when they were doing the Netra Milan, blood was coming out from his eyes because they were just, you know, doing that whole ceremony there. So that's how the two deities were, one in Sri Perambur and one in Melukit, were established, and they were guiding the devotees. And then finally, he did whatever, you know, promises, initiating people. And of course, time is running short, but there's one thing, if I don't say this, will not be complete, is why they give this name Statue of Equality, you know, I mean, whatever is, you know, established and whatever was unveiled by the PM, is because he did something very special. What he did special was he went to Goshtipurna. Now, this Goshtipura is a place, actually. It's called Goshtipura because that's the place where the demigods used to have Goshti. Goshti means the demigods used to have a meeting, how to kill this Hiranyakashipu, what to do, he's troubling us. So they used to regularly meet. That's called Goshtipura. So there was this one very exalted devotee called Goshtipurna. So Ramanuja wanted to take Tirumantra from him, some sacred, special mantra from him. So Ramanuja goes to him and says, can you give me a mantra? So Goshtipurna is, you know, always giving him some excuses. No, today is not a good day. Come tomorrow. No, today, go and take bath in Kaveri. First, you become a good Vaishnava. All the time testing him. 17 times, you know. Of course, this is a class in itself if we go on what happened. 17 times, he gives 17 different reasons why he can't give the mantra. And on the 18th time, you know, he's finally impressed with his patience. And he says, all right, I'll give you mantra, come. So then he gives the Ashtakshari mantra to Ramanuja. And he tells him that this is so powerful mantra. If somebody chants this mantra, then they just go back to Vaikuntha. That's it. So Ramanuja is very happy. He's dancing with joy. And when he comes out, there are other people who are saying that you are the great Ramanuja. Still, you had to come 17 times and you finally got mantra. What about us? We're just simple people. That means we'll never have chance to go back to Vaikuntha, is it not? And when Ramanuja heard that, something clicked in his mind. Oh, why should I keep this mantra with me? Why not I share it with everybody? Because everybody should get a chance to go back to Vaikuntha. Not that if somebody has studied the scriptures or born in a particular class of brahmanas, this should be an open invitation to all. So he said, I want to give this mantra to everybody. So he just gets up, you know, goes up on the, not exactly Gopuram, there is this elevated place. Even now you can go to that, go to this temple where he did this. So he gets up on that, you know, high places, three floors high, actually. This is a small staircase going up there. So he went up there and he started making announcement. Oh, everybody come here. You know, you all want to go back, you know, go to Vaikuntha. Here is something I have for all of you. And he starts giving the, you know, the Tiru mantra and explaining the Charana mantra. So when he starts doing that, Goshtipurna, when he comes to know, he gets all angry and he says, are you crazy? I told you this is not for everybody. This is very special. You know, I took so much time just to give it to you. And then you'll go to hell if you do that. And Ramanuja smiles and offers Dandavat Pranam to his guru. And he says, oh, did you say that if I do that, I'll go to hell? Yeah, you will. Mm-hmm. Did you say that if anybody chants this mantra, they'll go to Vaikuntha? Yeah, they will. So I think that's a fair deal, Guru Maharaj, because it's only me who has to go to hell. Everybody else can go back to Vaikuntha. So I think that that's fair enough. If by my going to hell, so many people can go in wholesale to Vaikuntha, I think it's a good deal. Then Goshtipurna, he understands, you know, the kind of compassion that he has, because he didn't even see that they were brahmanas. They were only brahmanas. They were everybody. I mean, he didn't make sure that, okay, I'll give only to brahmanas or I'll only give to my disciples. He did it for everybody, whether there were ladies there in that place, and there were shudras there, and there were people from different class, you know, who had probably no hope to ever get that mantra in their life. But he did it. And in fact, he initiated ladies and initiated grihasthas. He initiated every class of people. So he gave it to everybody, he gave the mantra to everybody. So that's why, you know, the Statue of Equality, because he never showed any distinction and gave this to everybody freely. And then anyway, finally, so he fulfilled his promises to Guru, preaching to everybody. And the names, you know, the Veda Vyas and Parashar Muni, the names were given to Kuresh's children. And then the writing of commentary, Bhashya commentary for Vedanta Sutra. For that, again, he goes with Kuresh, walks up to Kashmir. But the people there, they're not ready to give that. He wanted some reference book, some Bodhayanta. I'm not going to get the right name now. So Bodhayan Shastra or something like that. And they were not ready to give it to him. So finally, Saraswati Devi, she herself comes and gives it to Ramanuja. Okay, take this book, take it as a reference and, you know, you write your commentary. So immediately in the night, you know, like thieves, they just pack that book and they just, you know, run and they start walking down. But when the next day morning, these people come to know that the book is missing, they also run behind and catch up with them. And, you know, in a month's time, they just take the book back. Now, meanwhile, Ramanuja is very sad. The book is gone. How will I write my commentary? I needed it for reference. And Kuresh says, don't worry, Guru Maharaj. We were traveling last 1 month. Na? Every day I was looking at the book. Na? It's completely now in my memory. You tell me which page number you want. You know, tell me the page number. I'll tell you what was written there. That's it. And that's how he wrote his commentary. Kuresh was telling, this is written, that is written, because he had a photo memory. Everything is there in his mind. And he keeps telling his guru and he finishes. So he finishes his commentary, finishes all the promises given to his guru. And of course, this was before, you know, the Kuresh's eyes go and all. So after that, of course, Ramanuja feels very bad when he sees, in his final days, when he sees Kuresh without, you know, eyes. And then he tells Kuresh, why can't you go and ask Varadaraj for eyes? So Kuresh is reluctant, but because his guru has, you know, given him some specific mantras, go and chant in the sanctum sanctorium and ask the Lord. So he goes and chants and then he comes back. He's still blind. So Raman is asking, what happened? He said, I went in and the Lord asked me what you want. So I told him that, why not you forgive those people, whatever they did to me, you know, forgive those people. So Raman just said, oh, come on, I'm nothing doing. This time you go and ask for eyes. So he again goes and again comes back. So Raman just says, did you ask? He said, I thought to ask, but I'm thinking, what will I do with the eyes? What is there to see in this world? So I told him, okay, give me eyes with which I can see my guru. I can see you. It's enough. I don't want to see anybody. I want to see the Lord and I want to see you. I don't want to see anything else. So that was how his disciple Kuresh was. And then finally, Ramanuja, he left his body. He was 120 years old at that time. And then the actual body of Ramanuja, the Lord himself announced and pronounced. He said, that's a very, very special and divine. And, you can just keep it there. So they just, you know, actual body of Ramanuja in a sitting position, they just kept it like that. Even today, you go to Srirangam, you can see that body is still there. In fact, usually, you know, the mummies and all, when they do that, they have to do so much chemical layering. But here, they don't do anything. They just put camphor and turmeric on his body every year. And that's it. And it's intact. And I was, I don't know, when I went to Srirangam, I saw it's like a small place and there is this, barricade. But as I was, somebody was sharing that they're also, you know, you can also see the nails. You can actually see the nails, that it's an actual body. It looks very effulgent and you can see that. So that's still there in Srirangam temple. So three vigrahas, one in Melakote and one in Siriperumbatur and one in Srirangam. So he had glorious disciples and, you know, such a preaching spirit, and made thousands of people into Vaishnavas and preaching to all classes of people, whether it's women or Shudras or Kshatriyas or kings or Zamindars or peasants or every class of people. He was convincing them and, you know, making them a Vishnu Bhakta. So that's how he preached. And what a wonderful, wonderful devotee, and what a inspiration his disciples give us, how to serve Guru and how to take every instruction of Guru and Krishna as our life and soul. And, you know, when we do that with dedication, actually, then Guru actually uses us as an instrument and empowers us and uses us in Krishna's service. So when we take one step ahead with that faith and you know, Krishna gives all energy to continue in that path. So one should have firm faith on Guru's instruction. Guru's instructions are like Krishna speaking through Guru. So one should take it very seriously. Even the smallest instruction should be taken seriously. So that's the glorious life of Ramanuja, which we have very, superficially, or what do you say, just touched a little, you know, and from this, there's hundreds and hundreds of wonderful pastimes, very inspiring pastimes, which showcases his different qualities also. You know, like we say, not 26 qualities of Vaishnav, you know, Amani, Manadena, and then tolerant, and then how he was so humble. And there are so many such pastimes which tell us about his different qualities, which we can try to imbibe in ourselves. So with this, I'll end it here. I'm on time. You said 1.5 hour, 7:30. I'll stop it here. Shripad Ramanujacharya ki jai. Shripad ki jai.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you so much. Such a wonderful katha and so much absorption in katha. It was feeling like watching movie on Ramanujacharya. So amazing, Mataji, and we are so fortunate today getting you on this forum and directly listening to you. It's so amazing, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mataji, would you like to take questions or?
One or two.
Yeah. One question. Upili Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Yeah. My question is that in the story, you like mentioned that the person was a Brahmin, but he had to turn into the ghost because of wrong pronunciation of the mantras. So Mataji, when we do something in God consciousness or we render some service to the Lord, is it a good karma? Because you say that when we render service to the Lord, he takes away all our karmas. Because if we have karma, we have to take birth again. So is it like good karma or like how is that?
Starting 2-3 lines were clear. After that, the words got jumbled. What I understood is you are trying to say that somebody did a wrong pronunciation and he had to be born as Brahmarakshasa. So if we do some wrong pronunciation, will that happen to us? No, it will not. Because what we are doing is bhakti. What they were doing is karmakanda. So in karmakanda, the recitation is very important. For us, if we do Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna also, he'll understand that we are calling him. And it will not have any effect. And definitely we won't be born as Brahmarakshasa. Whatever we are doing is we are trying to please the Lord. But in the karmakanda, mantras or yajnas and all, they have a specific purpose. So they have to chant it in the right way. But for us, we're just doing Harinam. And what we do at the most is maybe chant the verses of Bhagavatam or some stutis or some, you know, Shikshashtakam or some things. And so so just like a mother understands, whether you call mama or mummy or mom, mother understands, the Lord understands. So even if we are learning stages and we are making some wrong pronunciations, nothing will happen to us.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for wonderful class. Really hearing such a beautiful pastimes of great personalities, it will make us so happy. From Mataji, you as Shyamagauri Mataji said, you explained all the pastimes. It's happening in front of our eyes, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Anybody wants to ask a question?
I think so.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Hare Krishna Mataji. Dhanavad Pranam Mataji. Thank you, Mataji, for elaborating on Ramanuja's pastimes and knowing pastimes of these glorious persons, you know, increases our devotion. Mataji, this have this question about this Vardaraj. What form is that, Mataji? Can you, you know, why he is called Varadaraj, Mataji?
What I heard is that Varadaraj means one who gives boons, one who is king of giving boons. And I heard he came out from fire, from Yajnashala. So that is why, you know, all the time they are fanning him. And recently we had this Ati Varada Darshan also. So this comes out from the fig tree and then they put it inside the temple pond, you know, for 40 years. And every 40 years, they bring it out and worship for 48 years. So this Varadaraj Perumal deities also are, you know, came out from the fire. And I don't know much about, but I had heard long time back. Now it's out of my memory. There's a beautiful story about that also. Big pastime, but I'm not able to recollect right now. But I know one thing that Varadaraj deities is, and Lakshmi Devi is Lakshmi Narayan, and Varadaraj is king of boons, one who can, you know, who is like, just like every deity has some special quality. The special quality of Varadaraj is he loves to give boons to his devotees. So he's very merciful. So that's what I know about Varadaraj deities.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Pragya Mataji, you can go, you can unmute yourself and go ahead, Mataji.
I think she got cut.
Yeah, she is there. Mataji, please speak. Hi. Mataji.
Okay.
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Dhanvatana, Mataji. Mataji, at last you told us to have faith in words of Guru, and for me, when life tests me, I always fail. So what is the driving force that will keep me going even if I fail, when my faith is put to test?
Okay, your question is that how do we keep faith on Guru's instructions? That's what you say?
Yes, Mataji. And especially when we fail, when my faith is put to test, I fail. I, you know, at the back of my mind, I somewhere I doubt. So, and that is my condition.
I think that's everybody's condition, but we just improve over the period of time. See, it's like that. It's not that we will just go straight to the destination. We'll always take a wrong right and a wrong left. But every time, you know, we fail, but then there's again a rerouting of the map, and there is again rerouting of the map, and finally we will reach the destination. So even now, you take a Google map and you drive, though you're getting all the right instruction from the Google, but you always take some wrong right and you'll take some wrong left. But of course, the Google map is so kind, it'll again reroute it for us. And okay, no problem, you have taken a wrong right, but you take a U-turn and you come back to track. And that's what Guru's instructions do. We fail, we try our best that we want to follow his instructions as it is, but we fail, but that's all right. And at least the whole point is not about falling down, it's just about getting up again. And it's just about what you do between the two fall downs. When you fall and you fall, what are you doing in between? If we're not losing faith and we are surrendered, we are trying our 100%, we should get up again and try, and then get up again and try. And one fine day, even after taking all the wrong rights and lefts, because we somehow still holding on to the map, that's very important. We shouldn't give it up on that. So even if we fail on following our guru's instruction 100%, but we don't leave it. We still hold it with us, and we try our best. We may not be 100%. Maybe we are 60%. Maybe another 2-3 years, and we'll become 70%, and we'll become 80%, and we'll keep on improving. So it's like that. We should take it positively, and we should not feel depressed about it. And then I feel that everything is motivating factor for everything is association only. Shravanam, Kirtanam, the Navavidha Bhakti is only. They are the only thing that inspires, purifies, motivates us to, you know, take it, refreshes us, energizes us to take on the, you know, continue the journey. So that should be done properly and nourish ourselves properly. And we'll keep going and we'll make mistakes. We'll definitely make mistakes, but we shouldn't leave the map. We shouldn't leave the GPS, the map, yeah. The Guru Parampara, not GPS, the Guru Parampara system or this Guru Parampara which is coming. This, we shouldn't leave that and we should keep following. So yeah, it will happen. And I think I answered it, yeah. So inspiration is Navavidha Bhakti to move us forward, and we shouldn't leave the shelter. We should have a nice backup plan, because fall we will. So we should always have a backup plan that what will I do when I fall. So you should have some, you know, like we already have this Sangha which you are in now. You have some, your local temple Sangha or something. So they are our fallback plan, you know, when we don't succeed, and then they are there, and then they'll again push us, and then we'll again fall. It'll keep happening. But just like a small child, you know, walks and falls and walks and falls, but one fine day learns to walk. I mean, we were all falling when we were, you know, 1 year old, 2 years old, but we all know how to walk now. So it'll happen eventually. Yeah.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. There is one more question in the chat box, Mataji. Kishori Mataji, she's asking, is it correct understanding that the material desires come from uncontrolled mind versus spiritual desires or pious desires come from the heart? Please elaborate.
Material desires come from?
Uncontrolled mind, and spiritual desires or pious desires come from the heart.
Yeah, material desires come from uncontrolled mind. Yeah, because this mind is having the covering of what impressions of what we did previously also, previously what we engaged ourselves into. So yes, material desires come from uncontrolled mind, from previous impressions, from our conditioning, from our present situation, present association, presently what we are doing, the kind of people we are associating with. Everything will contribute to having material desires. If you are associating with people whose definition of success is different from you, whose definition of, you know, success in life is some material, you know, achievement, and when we associate with them, definitely, you know, those material desire, that infection comes to us also. So it's association, it's previous conditioning, previous karma, everything. And spiritual desires, they come from the heart. Yes, they come from the heart, because soul is pure and it's part and parcel of Krishna. The soul wants to go back home and soul wants to associate with Krishna. The only thing is, poor thing is stuck with so much, so many layers and so many conditionings. So yes, so whenever some nice desire is coming, it's inspired by Paramatma inside. And we should start accepting those desires and start working on them. Yes.
Thank you, Mataji. One more question, Mataji, or we can end.
Okay. If it's a short
From Bharati Mataji, she messaged Mataji, Sri Ramanujacharya didn't take sannyas till his wife permissed. Is it ritual?
What is it? Ramanujacharya did not take sannyas?
Till his wife permits.
Okay, so what's your question?
Mataji, question is it a ritual to take a permission and then take sannyas? That was the question in the chat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, that is what is the system. If you are married, then you need to take permission from your wife. You can't leave her unsheltered. But again, then you should not ask me that, then why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Now, because see, there are so many versions to this also. Because in Chaitanya Bhagavata somewhere I heard that he also did, you know, this way and took permission from his wife. So the basic principle is you cannot take sannyas without your wife's permission. You have to take permission. Now, saying that, there may be some exceptional cases where they did not take permission, but that is maybe for a bigger purpose, for a higher purpose. But otherwise, generally speaking, yes, that's the system. And that's a system in ISKCON also. So if they don't want to take sannyas, they have to get written permission from their wife. But yeah, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, you know, you hear that story where he talks to the parrot and then he, you know, is, you know, I don't know, I'm not able to recollect the right thing now, but let me just, and then how he also gets permission from his wife, you know, what way now I'm forgetting, I just missed that. So like this, you know, so yeah, so you have to take permission and from your wife before taking sannyas, yeah.
Thank you,
that's
Mataji.
It. That's what I'm.
Thank you, Mataji. Upila Mataji.
Whose question? Whose question is this?
Bharati Mataji.
By some Prabhuji or by some Mataji?
Mataji. Bharati Mataji.
Any symptoms of your Prabhu trying to take sannyas? Then I can answer it in a different way, you know. I'll make 2-3 statements, strong statements. It's not possible. It's what is unvedic to take sannyas without your wife's permission like that, you know. And for the next class, I can even get you some quotes so you can be ready.
Thank you, Mataji. Last question, Mataji. Upila Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji. I had this one last question. So there was this poet and composer, music composer called Uttakad Venkata Subbaya in the south. And he's actually not very famous and glorified. He was like a great devotee of the Lord and he's composed many songs on him. In fact, on the Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole 10th canto. So in his songs, he mentions things like, you know, there's a gopi and Krishna asks her to sing Raga Mukhari. And when she's unable to sing it, he pinches her. And when she cries, he says that that is the Raga Mukhari. And other pastimes, like when the Lord moves, his anglets go make certain sounds like nakanakanakanam, nikinikneem, purnu purakankana, and things like these. So, Mataji, when these poets, and they write about the Lord like this and the pastimes. And does it come to their vision in front of them? Does it come? Or is it like out of their imagination they write it? Or the Lord actually shows it to them?
When the poets write, is it out of their imagination or the Lord actually shows it to them? If they are devotees of the Lord and they are connected to authorized sampradayas, and if our Vaishnava Acharya's quote or hear them, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to hear from Chandidas bhajans or Jayadeva Goswami's bhajans. So if they're authorized like this, then we believe that it's not their imagination, they're actually seeing Leela. But otherwise, there are many other in the modern times also who may be having very good vocabulary and some kind of an imagination, they may be also writing. So we never know. So that's why we try to stick to the authorized versions and authorized poets only. So it depends on what language it is. If it's in Tamil or isn't, then you can, you know, consult some devotees, you know, who know that language, then they can let you know. Like, for example, if you say Gujarati, then Narsi Mehta bhajans are very popular in Gujarat and they're definitely authorized if you see his bhajans, the way he sings. So like that, you have, you need to consult somebody who is expert in that language, or if there is some connection somewhere with our parampara or acharyas or any devotees, so then we can hear. Otherwise, we are not sure what they are saying, what they're
Because Mataji, this Utkading Subbayyad, he was a Tamil poet and he was there before the Trinity, and he has actually written about, he has glorified Ramanujacharya and Tulsidas and even Jayadev Goswami. Actually, he has written a song called Padmavati Ramanam and glorifies Jayadev Goswami and his Gita Govinda and Lord Krishna, because he has written many songs. People actually say he wanted to learn music, Carnatic music, and his mother actually, he wanted to learn from a person, and that person rejected teaching him. His mother asked him to consult the Lord himself. And when he went to the Lord, he said that the Lord taught music to him, and the Lord is his guru. And he didn't entertain any disciples, and he sang for the Lord. And whatever we are hearing, someone actually just by deceit, they heard what you were singing, watered it down, and that's what we have today. Because songs are very beautiful, what he has written. Really, very nice. So,
yeah, thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much. Do you want to go ahead and Shyam Gauri Mataji?
No, Vardhana Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for a very enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you, Mataji, and we look forward for our association again and again in the future, Mataji. All glories to Sri Ramanujacharya, all glories to all your services, Mataji. Let us pay obeisances to Mataji and all the devotees. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindhu hevacha patidanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Srila Prabhupada ki jai Hare Krishna Nitai Seni
Mataji ki jai
to the all assembled devotees Hare Krishna
thank you Mataji thank you so much Hare Krishna
to you Mataji happy Ekadashi Mataji
happy Ekadashi
Ekadashi
Happy Ekadasi to everyone. Thank you everyone for joining today's class. We'll meet again tomorrow, Srimad Bhagavatam class. Closing the call.
And we will be chanting today. The call will be open after like 10 o'clock. Yeah.
Thank you, Mataji.